I'm going to be bouncing around with a few different scriptures today, and I just want to encourage you, maybe just write down the references and don't bother trying to look them up. For two reasons, I'm going to be covering a lot of ground. That's one reason. I don't want you to be trying to flip through the Bible while I'm reading, and then you get to where you're going to read it, and I'm already off to another point. The other reason is I think it's great when you can read your Bible with time for God to talk to you out of the version you're used to. Because me personally, most of the stuff that I'm going to read today that I read any week is out of the New King James Version. But if you're used to the NIV, or you're used to the King James or the NASB, or there's a lot of great versions out there. And so I want you guys to have your version that you love God speaking to you through. Amen? I'm not so worried that you like my version. If it's the same version, awesome. But if it's not, it's more important for me to encourage you to go to God and have him talk to you from your word, your Bible. That way you can highlight it, you can underline it, you write notes, sticky notes, put them in that thing. This is what God said to me on this day. And so that's what I really want to encourage you with. So if you want to just turn to a couple of places, if you want to look up 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll touch on that a few times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll look at verses 16 and 17. If you want to leave your bulletin there or anything else, you can also turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And then the other places, maybe you can just jot down the references. I'll read them to you. So that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 17. And then also 1 Samuel 30. And we'll read several verses out of that. So let me start today by just asking everybody a simple question. How do you get inspired? What inspires you? And, you know, when I think of being inspired, for me, when I'm inspired, it usually has me focused on something and makes me want to try more or to reach higher, go farther, or start something new. When I'm inspired, it's like a big, I can do this kind of moment thing. And so, like, when God inspires me, I have a revelation moment or a aha moment. You might recognize it as that. Light bulb moment goes on. Oh, I get it, and I can do this thing. All of a sudden, hope is like, boom, let's go do this thing. All of a sudden, you're filled. That's what I think of when I think of inspiration. Because we all live in this world that can confuse us, discourage us, drain us. We have to be able to fill our tanks back up. And we have to have a way of filling our tanks up that isn't dependent on other people having their tank full. Because if it's always about the pastor filling you, or your spouse filling you, or the person you work with filling you, or a neighbor, or if it's always up to them to fill you up, what happens when they're empty and you need to get filled up? Uh-oh, now there's a real problem. So today I hope to inspire you for you to inspire you. Thanks, Tammy. So my prayer this whole week has been that we will be a very greatly inspired people because of who God is to us, what he's promised us, and how he lives in our lives, actively living in our lives. I want us to be inspired. So again, how do we get inspired? Well, I believe, for me, my personal belief is that the greatest source of inspiration in any of our lives is the Word of God. That's my personal belief. Are you at 2 Timothy chapter 3? We're going to read verses 16 and 17. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. If you think that might, you know, cause a cross current, you're reading out of a different version, then just listen to my version and then read yours later on. Because it's the same point, same principle. Verse 16. All scripture, I love that, all. All in the Greek here literally means all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Wow. So every verse in the Bible, every scripture, I don't care if it's Genesis, Revelation, Ezra, Proverbs, Psalms, Micah, you name it. Every verse in our Bibles has been put there because of God's inspiration. It has the very inspiration of God tied into it. The DNA of the Bible is the inspiration of God. If you need to be inspired, go for the inspiration of God. Why? Listen to this description of the inspired Word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So hold your finger right there before we read verse 17. So what the Holy Spirit is telling us, the inspired Word of God, as applied into our lives, will give us sound theology. It will be good for straightening things out, for reproof, for strengthening things, giving us a theology that works, that's straight through from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It'll all make sense. It'll give us security and comfort. It'll give us great confidence in the Word of God and in the God that loves us. That's what reproof means. It means to strengthen. Also for correction. Now, are you guys like me? Don't you like it when you're doing something and somebody comes up and says you're doing that all wrong? You guys love it. Don't you love it when you do something like for a big project, you get it all done, and you're sitting back going, man, that really looks good. It was a lot of work, but finally it's perfect. First person comes up and goes, well, why'd you do it that way? You should have done it this way. Right? I mean, maybe it's probably just me. I got to work on that. The Bible says it's inspired for God and it's profitable for correcting us. So in my life, if I've got a habit or a wrong thinking, a behavior that I'm doing that's wrong, I can literally read the Bible and God can tap me on the shoulder and the Holy Spirit can speak to me and convict me and say, Mike, that's wrong. You need to repent. Turn away from that stuff. I'll give you strength to repent of it, turn away from it, and turn to me, and I'll forgive you, and you can walk on. When God corrects me, it's so wonderful. It's like this big fat grace sandwich, right? Because he's got a big old slice of grace, then there's this slice of correction, then there's all this grace on top, and it's all slathered with a big old chunk of love. Sometimes when people correct you, it's like, hey, stupid. Really? You still doing that? And I don't even want to talk to you anymore. Ugh, that doesn't make me want to try hard to get better. The Bible is inspired. It's profitable. In other words, it's a great investment, and it's going to give you great dividends. It's profitable. You're going to get a gain from this thing. Get in the Word, you'll gain from it. It says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. You want to be more like Jesus? Read the Bible. Oh, I just want to be like Jesus. How many times you heard people say that? Oh, really? Where are you reading at the Bible? I don't really read the Bible. It's kind of boring. Okay, A and B have to go together. You're not going to get it. If you want to be more righteous, which is Jesus was righteousness in person, you want to be more Christ-like? Read the Bible. You will gain righteousness. The Bible promises. Verse 17, what's all this for? Well, so that man slash woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So whatever God brings you into your life to do, whatever comes up in front of you, you can be completely equipped to do it and succeed at it. Whew. I'm inspired already. How about you guys? I mean, this is just describing all the other stuff we get. This is like the wrapping on the present. Man, hallelujah. Is it no surprise then that we get inspired by the inspiration of God? Did anybody feel stirred while I was just talking about those first two verses? Do you feel like God was giving you hope? Maybe like getting ready to bring you somewhere? Maybe getting ready to put something else in with this? Get ready. That's what inspiration is. Inspiration starts out by, get ready, here's something. Get ready, something's coming. That's in our services now. I get inspired when I come in here, and people that used to come less frequently are here more often. I get inspired when I see the same old faces that I've been looking at for 15, 20 years, loving it. I love some of you guys' faces that are here day in, day out, month after month, year after year. Yes and amen. And I get inspired by new faces. All of it. So it's like if you see me during worship, by the time worship starts, I got my game face on. I'm ready to go because I've been seeing all you guys come in and it's like, let's go then. God's going to do something. We're here. It's up to you, God. Is it any wonder we get inspired when God's people come together and you start getting into God's inspired word? Of course we're going to get inspired. How could you not? The word of God always causes an effect. Always. I've heard people say, well, it really doesn't affect me. Yeah, it does affect you. It affects you in a way that you make a conscious decision to switch off. It still affected you. When a noise is really loud and you plug your ears, you can't say it didn't affect you. You plugged your ears. Maybe you didn't get up and dance to the music, but it affected you. The Word of God will always affect us. We can reply with that inspiration with faith and lay hold of something, or we can choose to go, nah, you know what? I'm not feeling it today. I don't want it. No thanks. And we can switch right off. It's totally up to each one of us what we want to do. All Scripture is given us by the inspiration of God, and it makes us complete and equipped for every good work that God has put in our lives, which in a few moments I'm going to read a verse that God says He actually created good things for us before we were even born. And the Word of God makes us complete to walk in that big old long list of good stuff He's got set out for us. Come on, God, let's do this thing. This is one simple description of God's love towards me. So if I want to be inspired like with God's love, there's so many different topics. I don't know how many different topics you could find if you went in one of those topographical studies of the Bible. I'm guessing there's literally thousands of topics that you could go in and look under and do a study from God's promises on that one topic. Here's just a couple simple verses about God's love. Listen to this. As high as the heaven is over the earth, that's how strong His love is to those who fear Him. Now, as smart as we are as people and all the fancy gadgets we got that shoot out into outer space to look out farther into outer space, so far, as smart as we are and as long as we've been doing this, all the money we've thrown at it, all the different nations, we still haven't been able to find a boundary in any direction. Right? We can't say, well, that one ends that far in such and such light years, you'll find a wall out there. So think how far that space is to that space is. God says in His inspired word, that's how huge His love is towards each one of you. As far as outer space is from this planet. That's a pretty big love. And as far as the sun rises from the sunset, that's how far He separates us from our sins. And, you know, I've had a lot of really busy days, kind of lose track of time. Day seems to just fly right by. Wow, it seems like I just got up and now it's getting dark. Even on the busiest days, sunrise never hits sunset. Wow. On the busiest day, it never will, never happen. That's how far your sins are from you now. Those just two simple promises, the size of His love and the distance of our sin from us. Amen. How about this one? Listen to this. This is Psalm 103:17. But Lord, Your endless love stretches from one eternity to the other, unbroken and unrelenting towards those who fear You and those who bow face down in awe before You. Your faithfulness to keep every gracious promise You've made passes from parents to children to grandchildren and beyond. Whew. Inspired word. You better believe it sure is. Man. So how do you get inspired? I asked all of us that a couple of minutes ago. I'm asking all of us again. How do you get inspired? Because King David is always a great example of a person of faith getting inspired. He inspired himself with the truth about his loving God. And so are you at 1 Samuel chapter 30? This is one of many of my favorite stories of David. If you've been going to this church for quite a while, you'll know that I usually preach out of this story at least once or twice every single year. And it's because of this main principle right here. Because David was a very gifted individual. He wasn't a great father. If you've read much of the Bible, if you know much about David's history, he wasn't too much of a great father. But everything else, wow. I mean, wow. He was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, worshipers in all the Old Testament. He was one of the greatest warriors in all the Bible. I mean, this guy took a bunch of disgruntled misfits and turn them around into the greatest army on earth at that time. If you read about him and his mighty men, the Bible says when they showed up, they were all disgruntled and complainers. Now, if you've worked a job out in the secular realm at all, most of the time, that's going to describe the work crews. I see a few people laughing and nodding, right? I mean, I used to be a dime maker. Dime makers are very well-paid individuals, especially back in the 90s. Oh, my goodness. I was getting $25 an hour in the 90s. Oh, and then I had to work like 10 to 15 hours overtime every week. Overtime is $37.50 an hour. Seriously. Oh, okay. I'm not going to argue with you. That's awesome. Right? There was guys that are complaining. Always complaining about. They would give us bonuses at the end of the year. Talk about a heart condition, folks. Bonuses at the end of the year. We'd get our profit sharing. We'd get our dime maker's bonus. We'd get another 401k bonus. And then our Christmas one. So you got four bonuses all at the same time at Christmas. And some of these guys would complain because they should have gave them to us sooner. They waited until the last day of the year before Christmas. Now I can't even use them for my presents. I used to tick them off. I'd say, you know what? That's a good point. You should just give all that right back to them. There. You'll prove your point. I mean, seriously, somebody's giving you thousands of dollars on top of your paycheck. I didn't get it. So David, he makes an army out of people like that. And they were the greatest army. So this David, who's a worshiper, warrior, wow. We read about this story right here where they're going about doing their thing. This is that time period in between where David was anointed to be king, and then years later where he was actually set in as king. So in between this, he does a lot of traveling. He's hiding from Saul, and Saul's trying to kill him, and all this stuff's going on. And David hides over here, and he hides over there, and he's doing all this different stuff. So that's where we find him right here. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. I would say that's a pretty serious crying session, wouldn't you? And David's two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite had been taken captive. Verse 6, now David was greatly distressed, and the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So let's just put our finger there, just kind of hold your finger there just before verse 7. That word strengthen, you might have the word encouraged. Either one comes from the Hebrew word, which is H-A-Z-A-Q. Hazak. And so that's how I would say it in English. It's actually said, the way the Hebrews pronounce it is kazak, which made me think about when I was a kid. You know, we used to play karate, and you go out karate and sing, hiya, kazak, right? Come on, you guys, help me out with this thing. I'm trying to inspire you. Oh, that's kapow. So the word kazak, it means to be strong or strengthened or to strengthen. It can also mean repair or courage or encourage and to be stronger. The word that it comes from means to fasten upon or to seize with strength, to cause to strengthen or fortify. And so when David was distressed and David encouraged or strengthened himself in the Lord, he kazaked that situation by getting a hold of God and strengthening himself with that. He seized God in some form or fashion to make himself stronger, to repair his emotions, to repair what's going on. He got a hold of God. And that's way more than just going, well, Lord, you know, this is really hopeless. This is a mess. I hope you know. Okay, where am I going to go eat? I think they're in a crowd about like this, and everybody, I mean, these guys must have been screaming and yelling. These were really tough warriors. If you read this one chapter in Chronicles, it talks about what these mighty men of David did. It chronicles like one guy kills this one, 300 people all by himself. This one guy jumps down the pit with a lion and kills a lion barehanded on a snowy day. This one guy jumps down the pit with an Egyptian, had a sword, takes sword away, kills the Egyptian with his own sword. I mean, these guys are rough and tumble. These guys were like the biggest gym rats you ever seen with training. So when they wear themselves out by hollering and yelling and crying, that's a serious cry session. Imagine them all sitting or laying down in here, just a mess. And so David's like, I can't even think in this place, man. I got to get away from you. Saying, so I think he separated himself to a place where his cell phone didn't go off, where his Facebook messages weren't dinging on his phone, wasn't dinging on his tablet, and people couldn't reach him. None of these guys could reach him. He went over, so it's just him and God. And I think he strengthened himself in the Lord. I think he kazaked it. I'm going to say this because I want you to have a mental bookmark. Because all of us are going to bump into something, maybe today, maybe this week, that seeks to discourage us, seeks to beat us down, seeks to disillusion us. And at that time, we're going to have to go, yeah, and go, uh-uh, I'm going to encourage myself. I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm going to go get away from people that are talking, gadgets that are talking, all the stuff that's trying to steal my thoughts. I'm just going to get with God. Okay, God, now what? Do, 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 do. Well, now what? Ever been there? I bet all of us have one time or another. If we've even bothered to go over and try to get alone. Some Christians live their whole lives never, and I repeat, never isolating themselves with God to hear something from him. Some Christians live their whole lives like that. David went over and he got some. Dave went over, he did the kazak, he says, God, it's just you and me. And I think at that point, the warrior David fell back on a habit he had all the way back from when he was just a kid. A kid, the low man on the totem pole. Anybody come from a medium or big family and were ever the youngest child for a while? I was number 4 out of 5 kids, and then 9 years later, my sister came along, so then she had all the privileges of the youngest. The youngest usually gets spoiled, but when there's chores, you get the stuff nobody else wants to do, right? There's a saying that, you know, fertilizer rolls downhill. The youngest usually gets the fertilizer. And David got the fertilizer. David was out in the field when we first find him. His brothers are all in the house with Dad when the big prophet comes in, and Samuel's going to do something. Every time this guy shows up, signs and wonders, miracles, and they're all in there. And it's like, well, one of your sons going to be king. And he goes, this guy, nope, this guy, nope, this guy. Well, I don't know what it is. Dad didn't even think of David. Samuel has to say, well, do you got any other ones? Oh, yeah, I got David. He's out there taking care of the sheep. That's the little man on the totem pole when Dad don't even remember you. That, dang. When David was out watching the sheep, David, there's never a recorded verse anywhere in the Bible that says David was out there grumbling, complaining, poor, poor, pitiful me. None. You will find him writing psalms, talking to God, saying, you're the God that gave me the strength when I was watching these sheep. If a lion somehow made the huge mistake of taking one of my sheep, I'd track that thing down and kill it with my bare hands, God. You gave me strength to tear a lion in two. God, you gave me strength to rip a bear apart with my bare hands. God, you've given me this. All the Psalms are full of these things where David's just talking to God. Man, you've made the heavens over me. You've watched every step I've taken. You've given me breath of life. God, you're awesome. This is what this kid developed at a young age that grew into this amazing warrior king that trained disgruntled people. Whew. So when David had to go and kazak this situation, he got alone with God so that he didn't hear all the other distractions. And then he starts saying things like Psalm 55:16, as for me, I'm going to call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Because he had saved him with the lion, with the bear, with Goliath, with all this other stuff. David knew if I call on God, he'll get a hold of me and I'll get a hold of him. This is all going to change. Just a second, I'll be right back. I got to go kazak something. Okay, God, you've been awesome. I know when I cry out to you, you hear me, you respond. Can you imagine him starting to get stirred up and he starts dancing a little bit all by himself, talking with God? Psalm 18, 1 through 3, listen to this. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Whew. David knew something. And I think you guys know that all this too. I'm sure all this rings true to you, right? I'm trying to inspire you that the next time you get into a situation, or maybe you're in a great place right now and you're thinking, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. I'd like to do something better for God. You know what? My life seems to have quite a bit of peace right now. God, what are some of these good works you said you created for me before time ever began? What you got for me, God? I want to do something amazing. I want to leave, like Lois said, I want to leave a legacy of faith for my kids and grandkids and beyond. I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He knew something. This is what Tony Evans says. Tony Evans is a great preacher of our time. Tony Evans says it this way. God will meet you where you are in order to take you where he wants you to go. God will meet you right where you are in order to take you where he wants you to go. Listen to this. This is what one of the amazing things Corrie Ten Boom said. Let God's promises shine on your problems. Let God's promises shine on your problems. Because all of us got problems. Come on, let's just be honest. If you don't have problems, you got two problems. You got problems and you're lying about your problems. Right? Let God's promises shine on your problems. So now let's go back. David's letting God's promises shine on his problems. He knows that God's going to show up. He's going to find him right there where he is in Ziklag, and it's all blowed up. And his guys, his faithful warriors, talking about stoning him to death. David knew, if I cried out to God, if I get a hold of God, he's going to change all this stuff. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all. I love this story. I love this part of the story especially because guess what happened? Before King David went to the priest, before King David went to church with the guys that seemed to know what they're doing about getting a hold of God, before King David went and got the church clothes and the ephod and all, before they did all that stuff, like so many do when they need to be inspired, I'll just go to church and have pastor pray for it. Before David did any of that, he went over here and it was just God and David. And he went back to basics. Oh, God, I just love you. I thank you for loving me. I know that you're going to just take me anywhere I need to go, Lord. You're always the answer to every problem. He starts quoting scriptures. Amen, girl? Before he ever went to the church answers, the set answers, the group answers, which sometimes are all right and good, wonderful. Before that, he got hold of God for himself and got something better than that. He got strengthened and fastened onto God. Amen? That's when we get inspired. Our greatest inspiration will be when God talks to us one-on-one. Man. Okay, so that's how David got inspired, by the promises of God, the inspiration of God. So let me ask you this. How do you get inspired? I've talked to people. Nature inspires them. If I can just get out there in a fishing boat and throw a line in the water, man, that just fills my tank up. It's like, okay, and then what do? Huh? Well, then I go back to work. Yeah, but you said you got inspired. What did it inspire you to do? Because inspiration always causes something to happen. So what'd you go do after you were fishing? I don't even know what you're talking about. Literally. Oh, okay. Well, music or art really inspires me. Oh, okay. So then when you look at an art picture, which incidentally most of that goes right over my head. I don't get any of that stuff, abstract and all this. I don't get it. After you get all inspired with all this art, then what do you do? What's it cause you to do? Well, what do you mean? When you get inspired, woof, I got to do something. What do you do? Usually it's nothing. Now, we can be inspired in our feelings, and I think that's what most people talk about. It gives us these neat feelings. But God's inspiration in you will cause you to take action for His kingdom. Even if it is just you praising Him for a little while. When you're inspired in God, you can't help but have the Holy Spirit start bubbling out some way, some form, some fashion. Some people are inspired by family. I am inspired by family in my emotions. My grandson inspires me all the time. My grandson's made an effect in my life. Believe it or not, I couldn't do this a few months ago. I couldn't do this to change the station on the radio because my shoulder was so jacked up. And so he got me to join a gym, and so I started working out with him. You know my grandson, right? He's like this, 260, all muscle, crazy strong. So I go to the gym with him, try not to get hurt. But he's got me, like, consistently going to the gym now. And so, like, yesterday, I actually was able to bench 270 pounds because of Mason's inspiration. Because without Mason, I wouldn't be touching a weight. I wouldn't belong to no gym, that's for sure. I haven't bench pressed that since high school. And that's because Mason inspired me in my emotions. Now, after I leave the gym, I don't carry weights around with me all day, and I'm hoo-ha, hoo-ha, yee. I don't really care about outside of Mason. If Mason didn't go to the gym anymore and he stopped all that stuff, so would I. All for it. I'm all for it. So many times, the things that inspire us, it's in our emotions and not necessarily in our spirit. These are all great, but they never replace the inspired Word of God that makes us complete and ready to walk in all the good things God's already created for us to walk in. Man, so how do we do this? This is what I mean. If I feel like I haven't earned God's love or grace, I'm feeling low, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling discouraged, how could I kazak that specific situation? And I say this because many people get discouraged by what life throws at them. It's just part of life. Been there, done that. I've been discouraged. I've been depressed. I bet most of us have at some time. So the antidote to that, I have to go away, get with God, and now somehow I got to kazak that. I got to combat it. Well, I'm going to use the inspired Word of God to inspire me in this specific thing. If I feel like I'm not worth God's goodness or grace, how about Romans 3:24? Listen to this. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Freely. Free, free, free. Free, 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 free. Free. Free, free, free. Right? Because sometimes Christians, somehow the devil lies to us enough times and we start thinking, well, yeah, I'm saved by grace, but I don't think God really want to spend a lot of time with me right now today because I wasn't in the Word all week. Or He doesn't spend a lot of time with me today because I kind of blew it this morning. I blew it this weekend or this or that. And so I know God still loves me, but I really don't think He's eager to hang out with me. That's a lie. Being justified freely by His grace. Free means free. Not modern nowadays. I'll give you a free phone if you sign a 3-year contract. That ain't free. That cost was buried in the contract. When God says free, He means free. Freely we have been redeemed through Jesus Christ. We don't ever go on that cross at all, ever. Jesus did it so we can receive it freely. Listen to this. This is how Paul kind of magnifies that whole thing. Listen for the inspiration in this passage, in these verses. I'm going to read 6 verses. Bear with me. Listen to this. Talking about His rich mercy and His love, His grace for us. But God, who is rich, you better be rich if you're giving a lot of free stuff out. God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, how come? Why would he do all that stuff? So that in the ages to come, as in every day after you're saved, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that wasn't of yourselves. That's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Free gift. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. Free gift of grace in the riches of his mercy, so that I can be raised up positionally equal with Jesus and God. That's what the Bible says. It blows my mind to see what the Bible says. But positionally equal with Jesus, I'm with him. I'm part of him, seated in heavenly places right now, so that I can fulfill the things that God already created for me to walk in. How about you guys? Did I add something? Did I exaggerate? Did I tuck something in here? This is what the Bible says. Wow. So that's if you're feeling a little discouraged and you need to get back to his love and his grace. For what about if you're going into a serious interview tomorrow and it's like, it's super, super, super important. I've been working a garbage job, but if I can just get to that first tier in management, it's going to change my whole life. Or I'm going into interviewing a whole new company. I wanted to work there my whole life. I really need God's favor for this. Guess what? God's got promises for that. Listen to this. This is Psalm 5, verse 11 and 12. I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround them as with a shield. The Bible literally tells me that all the time right around me right now, I've got this shield of God's favor. You know what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. So I'm constantly guarded with the shield of God's grace, and it goes before me before I get into that room, before I get into that situation. It's bouncing off the guy that's going to do the interviewing or the person that's going to make the decision. That grace goes before me. That's what the Bible says. Listen how the Message says those same verses. But let them all be glad, those who turn aside to hide themselves in you. May they keep shouting for joy forever. Overshadow them in your presence as they sing and rejoice. Then every lover of your name will burst forth with endless joy. Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy. I couldn't make this up. I can't compete with how good God is and how good he says it to me. I can't even come close to it. Listen to how other believers would say this. Chuck Swindoll says it this way. We're all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. We're all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Huh? I bet right now there's people in this room that think, yeah, but my situation really is impossible. I'm just saying, it's disguised brilliantly. This is how Elizabeth Elliot says it. She was the widow of a missionary that got killed by tribal Indians that he went over to try to bring the gospel to. This is what she says. Faith does not eliminate questions, but faith knows where to take them. Wow. Wow. So let's start wrapping all this up. How do we use this in our lives? What's this mean to us today, right now? So where did we start? If you want to turn back to 2 Timothy 3, we'll finish her off right there. She's been really good. So Timothy 3:16, excuse me, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Complete and thoroughly equipped. You know that every single one of us have learned wrong ways to deal with adversity. Every single one of us. And it's uniform with people around the world. See if this has ever been part of your experience. When bad things start happen, or it seems like bad things are going to happen, have you ever worried about your problems? When you're in a difficult situation, it continues to go on for weeks and maybe months. Have you ever talked about your problems? Especially when it's with relationships with people, have you ever rehearsed in your mind responses to that person when you go to talk about the problems you've been worrying about? So they're going to say this, and I'm going to say that. And then they'll probably say this, and I'm going to say that. Yeah. We all do it. Everybody I've ever talked to has done it. So we got to change our wrong thinking so that we can walk in the inspiration of God for our life and not just settle down to some low-level thing that the devil wants to try to steal from us. So let me. You guys are all going to do a self-examination now. Don't worry. It'll be rated G. Be fine. I'm going to liken our spiritual tanks of inspiration. Let's see how inspired we are right now. Did I get everybody's attention? So we're going to see how inspired we are. Now, I'm still super old school. I don't know anything about electric cars. The car I drive is a gas car. It has a gas gauge. And so when the needle's up here, it's full. When the needle's down here, it's empty. You're probably going to walk pretty soon. So in our spiritual tanks, if we thought of the inspiration in our lives like a sort of gas gauge, on the bottom, if we're on E, then that's going to look like deadness and depression. That's our whole inspiration right now is just dead and depression. If we can get a couple of bucks, maybe borrow $6-7 from somebody, get somebody to pray for us or read something, a funny comic or something, might come up quarter tank. We can get a little bit. Then we've moved all the way up to coldness, indifference, like whatever. I see plenty of people over the years as a pastor who come into church and seriously, no matter what happens, I would say their expression is, I'm not against it, I'm not for it, whatever. It's indifference. I would say that's about a quarter of a tank. So what do we do at a half tank? Half tank, we've already moved up to lukewarmness or a dullness at half tank. By that, I would say, well, we're at church pretty regular, but as far as being intentional to get something from God on a personal level, that would not be part of the equation. That would not be part of our thinking. That I'm going to intentionally do something today for me to hear something from God that nobody else is going to see or hear or even know about. Half a tank, probably lukewarmness, dullness. How about 3/4 of a tank? Now we got to be getting close. I would say 3/4 of a tank would most of the time be defined by a Christian who's very timid and bored. So they're going through all the right motions. They're doing some good stuff, but they're so used to doing all the stuff in their life, it's really kind of boring. What time is church going to get out anyways? Type thing. Okay, so that's not us. We're talking about people that have a tank full. We're going to top it off. Make sure that bad boy. You ever go to gas because it's on a crazy sale? Oh, look at it. Dropped 30 cents. Yeah, but I just got gas. Well, I can get $1.50 in there. And you're clicking it, trying to get every little precious cheap drop in there. If you're on fire, if your tank's full, you're full of the Word of God. You're inspired because you just spent some time with Him today. You spent time with Him every day this week. He's been building up this whole thing in you. It's just, it's time to do something. And this is what God's plan is for my life. It fits perfectly. I've been praying about it. Hey, Pastor, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. Can we start right now? Maybe other people want to help me. Your life would be defined by insight and vision, brilliance and flair. You would have fresh revelation and lots of aha moments. You're reading the Bible and it's like, oh, I never saw that before. Did you see what he says in 2 Timothy 3? Inspired by, right? That's what happens when you're full of God and you're reading the Bible, stuff just jumping off the page. It's like, man, I'm seeing 3D all of a sudden. Let me just stop and think that. Oh my goodness, Lord, that's amazing. What takes full, the distance is limitless. Now, at some time or another, we all been broke, driving some old beater, and you go to get gas, and you got like, oh man, okay, well, I'm only going to put $3 in. I have to try to borrow some more later tomorrow, but that's all I got, $3. That should get me to such and such, and then maybe I can make it there before I run out of gas. Sometimes that's how Christians think. I'm just going to go to church. They'll get me till next Sunday church. This ain't that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is talking about something totally different, about limitless possibilities in God on a daily basis as we get a hold of God, so that we can overflow with creativity and inventiveness, ingenuity, innovation, artistry. All these words is what inspiration means. When you're inspired, you walk in these things. So it all rubs off on those around you too. And I'm going to bring this to a close. Daniel 11:32 says this: the people that know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That's what the Bible says. The people that know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Are you interested in a great exploit? And don't worry, those of us that are a little long in the tooth, me included for sure, I don't think God wants my great exploit to be setting the world record at the Olympics 4 years from now. Right? I think maybe my great exploit is going to be leading someone to the Lord at a grocery store or praying for one of these neighbors and they get set free of some horrible addiction. That's what my mind thinks of with great exploits. I help a person right in front of me. Maybe a person none of you guys are ever going to see, and vice versa. So let me just ask you this. Is there anyone here, that when I talk about free grace, when I talk about saved by grace, being caught up with Jesus, God sees us together in heaven, together with Jesus, seated in heavenly places. Is there anyone here that thinks that's not for me? I don't think that's for me. Have you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and would like to do that now? Is there anyone here? All right. Is there anyone here that as I've been talking today, you've been inspired to rededicate your life to the Lord? Where maybe you're just thinking, you know what? I had that at one time. I had a life inspired by my relationship with God, and somehow it's cooled off. Somehow it's just simmered down to, I think my tank's maybe somewhere around half or a quarter. Is there anyone here like to rededicate their life? Well, all right, awesome, praise God, hallelujah. Cool, now we get to the fun stuff. Is there anyone here that knows their heart was touched by God today, felt stirred to move deeper with God, and want more from Him right now? If so, I'm just going to ask you to stand up right where you are, and we're going to pray together. If you're standing up, I'm just going to ask you to do just a couple more things. Number one, would you just bow your heads right where you're at, close your eyes, and would you open your hearts? As best you can, whatever that means to you, would you please open your hearts and reach out to God? Okay? Now together we're just going to pray in agreement. Father God, your word tells us that the word is spirit and it's life. People and things can inspire us in our emotions, but you inspire us spiritually so that we can be complete in your plan for our life. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask through the name of Jesus Christ that you would draw us to yourself, leading us to specific verses for our lives. Each one of us, Lord, in a personal relationship with you, would you draw us to the exact verses you have for each individual listening to this right now? Father, we're standing together as a sign of unity and agreement, and we ask for you to inspire us so that we can live lives filled with aha moments with you, that we would be shining examples of this free gift of grace that literally changes a person's everything. And Father, we pray together, and we're asking that you would inspire us now so that we would be innovative and creative as a family together, inspired in fresh ways so we can share the unchanging gospel to the world around us. And Lord, we thank you today, right now. We thank you for a fresh touch. We thank you for the free gift of grace. Most of all, Lord God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the one and only. And in him, we pray to you. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, Lord, I just pray for all the people that are here today and in the parking lot listening on the internet. Lord, I just pray for all of us. Lord, I ask your blessing upon them. And I ask that you would fulfill your good plan and your good purposes in each one of their lives. Lord, meet them right where they are and take them to where you want them to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless everybody. There's coffee just across the hallway if you want to hang around. And sandwiches.